Hello, everyone. You're listening to Lake House Church Weekly Sermons with Pastor Mark Burkhart.
Worship is not about the posture that you take. It's the desire in your heart. And whether you're sitting there just soaking in God quietly or you're jumping and dancing around, those are all forms of worship. But just to come in and get into the presence of God, even before you come to church, before the word, I'll tell you what, when you come in and spend that time with God, you're already entering worship in third gear. For any stick shift drivers, you know what I'm talking about. You're not starting off and grinding in the first and trying to open your eyes. You're already ready to see what God's about to do in your life. And I'll tell you what, I want to challenge you as a church. You come three Sundays in a row. Just come three Sundays in a row to this morning, early morning, and see if God doesn't start changing things in your life. If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, then do something different. Okay? Even the only person that loves you complaining is the devil. All right? I think sometimes, and I'm not speaking for God on this, but he's like, do something different. We're saying the same prayers that we're saying in 2016 and 2017. All right, here's an opportunity. Let's shake off the old. Let's go into the new. Okay? Amen. I also have to tell you, I'm preaching on tunnel vision today. And the word says to confess your sins one to another. So I'm confessing my sins. I walked in that door, and I saw the beautiful new floor. Beautiful wasn't the word I was thinking. And I had tunnel vision on that. And Shauna was there. Where's Shauna at? Shauna? There, okay. So Shauna was there, and she was setting up. All beautiful things were happening. People were working, volunteering, getting ready, and I was focusing on the floor. During worship, God brought that up to me. And he said, Mark, that's the color of your church, right there. We're going to be bringing in every color of the rainbow into the body of Christ. This is not going to be a black church. It's not going to be a white church. It's going to be a body of Christ church. And it's going to include every color. And so sometimes he has to remind me when I walk in the door that his body is bigger than anything that we can ever comprehend. Amen? So when you see that floor of all the multicolors, you got to think that this is what this church is going to reflect. We are going to love people regardless of their color, because where there's grace, there is no race. And God sees them as people who need a Savior, not the color of their skin. You see, this land needs healing, okay? And I don't know if you heard, because I'll tell you what, President Trump, this isn't even my message, so I'm sorry. President Trump is not a perfect person, okay? I'm one to tell you that. But if you check out, there was a prophecy 10 years ago by Kim Clement, a prophet, in 2007, look up Kim Clement. And it talked about how Trump is going to be president. This was 10 years ago. Okay, this wasn't 10 months ago when anybody can join the bandwagon. And it says he's going to go into that office whispering my name, and he is going to leave shouting my name. Now, that shows transformation, right? Because have you ever noticed this? As Dino's leading us in worship, and we start off real, and then it keeps building and building and building, let's just wait. God's about to do a new thing. Are we ready for it? This land needs healing. We need to be praying for our land. We really do. There is so much tension. There is so much hatred, so much separation, and that is, all of that comes from Satan. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Well, we always focus on the steal and kill, but what about destroying? Destroying relationships, destroying friendships, destroying families. Okay, I'm going to get back actually on what I'm supposed to preach on today, okay? So let's talk about it. Can we put the first slide up? No, go back to the first one. Oh, no. First slide. There we go. Now that you've already seen the second slide, do you all know what that is? Anybody? This is one time to shout out, okay? What do you think it is? A flower. Okay, Ron. What? Huh, Dino?
A light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, okay. What else?
A cave.
All right, cave. Okay, let's go to the next one. I'm going to show you a little bit more. All right, who said cave earlier? All right, there we go. Shane? All right. Now, do you realize we're just seeing a little bit of the picture, right? So it's not really fair for me to say, what are you seeing when you're saying, I'm not seeing the whole picture? So let's go to the next one. All right, what do you think now? Okay, there we go. Roadway cut through the rock, right? All right, let's go to the next one. Now, that has to be the example of the cheapest rent building, because there's no way I'm going to office in that building, okay? You're going to have to say, oh, I get the office space where people think it's a drive-through. You realize, see, the first few shots, it looked like a tunnel. And in life, there are times when we see things and we think we've figured it out, but we are so focused on such a little piece. But God sees the entire thing. And what Satan is trying to tell you is truth, God's saying, that's not truth. Oh, no, 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 Pastor, I saw it. You saw that. But that doesn't make that a tunnel. That's an office building or somebody's home. I don't know why you would paint that on the side of your house. Okay, that is inviting somebody to drive through it, right? I mean, that's almost a lawsuit waiting to happen. It's like, Your Honor, they drew a tunnel on the side of their house. Of course my client drove through it. Let's talk about tunnel vision, because the last couple of weeks we've been talking about the difference between sight and having a vision from God. Amen? You see, sight will always see the problems. Sight will always see the difficulties. A vision from God allows you to see the possibilities and promises of God. I'm going to tell you that in the inauguration, in the 16 minutes, Donald Trump mentioned something. And I mentioned it to Paula before service. He said, we're going to have a vision for America again. And what was his vision? You may have read it on somebody's hat, okay? It says, make America great. Now, and he's not giving you the plan. If you read the rest of the hat, there's not a 38-point plan on the back of the hat. It's vision of making America great again. That's vision. And we need vision. We need a direction to go in. That was probably the attraction of people to him as a candidate, that he was one of the few candidates that actually had vision. Instead of just continuing on what we're doing, we're going to go in a direction. So let's talk about vision. Let's talk about eyesight. You see, point number one, if you're taking notes, tunnel vision is an attack on your vision. Tunnel vision. It's when there's pressure being put on your optic nerve that causes glaucoma. And that pressure makes that nerve cupped so that what you're seeing is only from the bottom of that cup. And it's very restrictive. You have no panoramic vision. You don't see what's happening over here. You're only focusing on what's in front of you. It's kind of like that first slide. All you were focusing on was that one little piece and not the big picture. And Satan will try to come in and make you focus on something that you don't understand, or you're questioning God when he's saying, look at everything that's going on around you. Look at what I'm about to do. You see, tunnel vision will keep us from remembering God's promises, remembering how he delivered us. Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, he paid my bills and he healed my body, but God, look at this. And God's saying, don't have tunnel vision. Don't be focused on what Satan is trying to direct you to, because Satan will always try to direct you to the negative of people, of your situations, and even more so to yourself. You know, one of the persons that's hardest on you is you. You know, have you ever looked at a group photo that you're in and you look for you first? Now, come on, right? And don't we critique ourselves? Oh, if I could only lose a little of that belly weight, I should have, when that photo's taken. And then they tell you, you stick your chin out, it gets rid of this. And Dino has all these things to make you look really good. It's called Photoshop. No, it's called just being able to the way you stand, you know. And now guys don't do this, but see, girls do this, and then they cross their legs, so it doesn't, well, never mind.
You have a lot of girls in your family.
I know. And we take a lot of photos. But don't we look at ourselves? And aren't we usually the hardest on ourselves? And sometimes we're the hardest person to forgive. And Satan knows that. And he's constantly reminding you of your past when God wants you to see your future. He's constantly wanting to relive bad chapters when God says, I have a whole plan and a purpose for your life. Can we look this way and quit looking this way? This is your past. Here is your future. And tunnel vision says, you know what, Pastor? All I can do is every time I hear that song, quit listening to that music. This is not rocket science, okay? Well, every time they come around, get away. Separate. We invite so much junk into our life, and then we boo-hoo how it affects us. Come on, people. This is not chemistry. This is just simple basics. And what we need to focus on is what God has been doing, what God has blessed us with.
Yes.
Aubryn and I worked a puzzle a couple years ago. And it was on our dining room table for a long time. Okay, because we got 90% of this puzzle done, actually 95%. And then there was this one section, and it was all trees and all leaves the same color. Hated that puzzle because it sat on our dining room table for like 3 months, just reminding me of our failure on this. And every once in a while, you'd see Ashlyn sit down, and she'd be like, okay. Actually, I probably did that more. And then we gave it to Kristen's mom, and she finished it in one day. Oh, here. I was like, how did you do it? There were literally about 40 pieces that needed to be put into this area, just same area, all green. And I realized that anytime I look at a puzzle now, I try to avoid puzzles that have a lot of the same color. Think about it. Now, don't you do that? If you look at a puzzle and are saying, hey, would you do this puzzle? It's all of the beach and the blue sky. And you're like, half of it's sand, half of it's blue. I don't want to do that. I want Coca-Cola cans or candy bars or something that I can say, oh, this is Hershey. This goes right there. But you know, sometimes it's the blank pieces of our puzzle that we focus on. And we don't understand why this is happening in our lives. We don't understand why this person is in our lives. We don't understand why we can't forgive ourselves on this certain thing. Why doesn't that person not respond to me? Why am I working where I am working? Why do I continue to do the things that I know are wrong? And what Satan wants you to do is just constantly focus on this piece of puzzle. And so if you think about it, it's like we walk around with this piece just embedded in front of us everywhere we go. And we're trying to look around it, but all we're seeing is this puzzle. And yet God sees the entire puzzle photo of our lives.
Right.
What do we do when we put together a puzzle? You look at the picture, right? Because you hold this up and you say, okay, God, where's this go, okay? And you look at the big picture and you're saying, okay, I think it's over here or it's over there. We all know puzzle making 101 is you do the square edges first, right? So that's not rocket science. But then you start holding up a piece and you're saying, God, where does this belong? And some of us have been focusing so much on a piece of that puzzle that has made no sense to us. And we keep saying, why, God, why? You see, when our prayers are starting off with so much of why, God, why, we don't know him.
That's right. Come on. Yes. Come on.
When your prayers are why, God, we don't know him.
Right.
Because God works all things together for our good.
Right.
He can do exceedingly abundantly above we can ever ask or think.
Amen.
According to the riches that he has.
That's
Word of God says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I'm the head and not the tail. I will lend and not have to borrow.
Amen.
The Word of God says that I am healed and I've been redeemed and I am saved, okay?
Amen.
So why is it that we focus on these pieces that are that Satan tries to put in front of us that distract us? And we forget all of the great promises of God. You know what I love about Dino's worship is he's always reminding us of the promises of God. The promises of God that are yes and amen. We need to understand the authority that we have as believers in Jesus Christ. you have authority in the Word of God to speak over situations. I'd rather just stare at my puzzle, Pastor. I don't understand this. And you know, God wants you to not focus on this, but focus on Him. And say, God, you know what? I don't care about that workplace. I don't care about what they're saying about me online. I don't care about all the junk and the trash that's going on in this world. I'm going to worship You. And I'm going to worship You, and I'm going to worship You, and You are going to reveal the puzzle, the whole picture in my life, and I'm going to walk in faith and not by sight. You see, when we walk by sight, we fail. But when we walk in faith, we will never fail. Because God is guiding and directing your steps. Things that would have bothered you before are not bothering you anymore. You cannot be consumed about what people are saying about you. You cannot be consumed what CNBC is saying. You cannot be consumed about your inner office politics. I'll tell you, this morning I was watching Joel for a few minutes, and the part I got is he said, when you're going out to lunch and all your coworkers are talking negative, they're feeding you trash at lunch. And it's basically his message was, stop eating trash. You need to stop allowing people to speak trash into your ears. Oh, you know that so-and-so person. They're so blah, 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 blah. It's trash. You feed on trash, you'll become trash. You are what you eat, right? I should be a big M&M, but I'm not, okay? Love the peanut M&Ms. Can't have them right now. But you are what you eat. So.
You're a salad.
I'm so tired of salad, but I'm a salad. Point number two. Tunnel vision is dangerous as no vision. Okay? Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. Yeah. But the one who keeps the law is blessed. Right. Your Bible translation said, where there is no vision, the people falter. Okay? But vision is also revelation. Remember, that was one of the first messages I spoke. Vision is revelation because God will always reveal His word to you in a vision. The vision for your life, you were created for a purpose. God has a plan for you. You are not junk. You're not an afterthought. No matter what anybody has said to you, God loves you more than anybody. And He wants you to complete what He built and created you for. There is no other one like you. Remember, we talked about that. Your DNA, there is not another one of you in this whole world.
Amen.
And God said, man, I got a plan and a purpose.
That's right.
But are we willing to get our eyes off of that puzzle piece and onto His big picture?
Come on.
God, what is our marriage to do together? I'm tired of seeing the faults of another person. What is our marriage supposed to do? God, I'm tired of seeing the faults of my family members. What are we as a family supposed to do?
Amen.
God, I'm tired of seeing the faults in the church. What is the church supposed to do, God?
Amen.
You see, when your prayers start coming more faith-based as opposed to complaining, God reveals Himself to you.
Yes, He does.
And that's why I'm challenging you. Come into the presence of God. But that's such a long time, Pastor. Come into the presence of God. It's so early in the morning, Pastor. Come into the presence of God. And I'm going to tell you that if you get into the presence of God, you're going to want that more than anything else. And we shouldn't have to put Krispy Kreme donuts out there as a lure for you to come in. Say, hey, okay, the first five people get Krispy Kreme donuts.
Wow.
Now, if that will work, I'll buy Krispy Kreme donuts for you, but... It should be the desire to be in God's presence. So point number two, tunnel vision is as dangerous as no vision. Helen Keller once said, the only thing worse than being blind is having sight but no vision. Let that thing just sink in for a minute. There are a lot of people who have eyesight, but they have no vision for their life. They don't know where they're going. They don't know why they were created. They don't know what is God. They don't know anything. And guess what? God has placed you in their lives.
Right. Better ask why.
Maybe there's a reason.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why your workplace is such a den of iniquity, as my mom and dad used to say. You don't hear that term anymore, but you know, that's like, man, that is just hell on earth right there. God, why do I have to be there? To be a light. Okay.
The only thing that casts out darkness.
You'll never reach, you're never going to reach your potential until you can see into the invisible.
Yes.
You are never going to reach your potential until you can see the invisible. You see, eyesight is always going to show you the limitations and your lack and why your bank account won't allow you to do this and why your schedule won't allow you to do this and why your personality is not designed to do this. And I'll tell you what, until you get that vision of God using you in great and mighty ways,
amen.
And it's not all standing behind a pulpit.
Come on.
Okay. More ministry takes place out there than ever here. This is when we just huddle together, encourage each other, love on each other, spend some time in the presence of God, say break, and go out there and be the church.
Yeah,
this is not church. This is huddle time, okay?
Amen.
Maybe we ought to just call us the huddle, okay? We'll be one of those new hip and trending, the huddle, okay? Because all we do is we get together, we put our arms around each other, and we say, okay, God, what do you want us to do? All right, break, boom, go.
Yeah. Implement the plan.
Implement the plan. And you know what? And you know what the cool thing about, and this is not, there's no slides on this, Austin or Kathy. Everyone in that huddle has a different job to do.
That's right.
Guess what happened if all 11 of them went to go hold the ball? You got everybody trying to huddle. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Joke was, you know, the football team was so bad because the center was ticklish and the quarterback stuttered. Okay, you'll get that later. All right. But not everybody's to run down the field. Last time we were talking, he says, man, how'd you like to have the job where all you got to do is get up and bump people away to protect the quarterback?
Yeah.
But that's what they do for 60 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
They don't get the glory unless they pick a ball up and waddle themselves down to the end. They were built to be protection. Okay? And if you look at that, that's what the church has done. We're not all built to be the same.
Amen.
But we have the same accomplishment, we have the same goal, and we have one God. And I don't care what color you are. And I don't care where you meet.
Yeah.
If you worship Jesus Christ, you are my brother and you're my sister. And we are the body of Christ.
Right. Right. Come on.
We cannot just look at our mountains. We need to look at the mountain mover.
Amen. Come on.
And when all you're asking about is, God, I can't see this. God, why am I this? Why is this happening to me? I'm not happy, God. Sunday at 7 a.m. Was that it, Austin? Let's look at tunnel vision in the Bible real quick. I'm going to show you tunnel vision to harm and tunnel vision for good. Tunnel vision to harm. One of the greatest satanic tools started at the very beginning in the Garden of Eden.
Come on.
Adam and Eve were in the, as I would probably assume, the most beautiful place on earth. There was peace. There was harmony. Do you know that in the evening, God would come and stroll through their presence and talk with them? There was no strife. There was no pressure. Eve wasn't saying, does this leaf make me look fat? There was nothing, okay? There was no self-image situations. And then Satan gets Eve separated.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you, there is danger when you get separated.
Right.
I don't need church. I don't need those people. I can watch church on TV. Praise God. If that's your only way, then do it. But if you are able to get up on a Sunday morning, go to a Bible-believing, faith-promise-filled spirit church that's going to encourage you.
Right. Yep. Amen.
Amen? Because this side was just silent, okay? Sean, I may have you go stand over on that side over there just to balance things out, okay? Yeah, stunned. Okay. So what do we have here? We have the most beautiful place on the earth. We have the most perfect environment. There are no economic situations. There's no political stress. There's nothing except just presence of God, beautiful food. Animals are getting together, and there's just peace in the valley, okay? And Satan gets that person apart and says, you know what? Look over here. Look at this.
Yeah.
Don't look at everything else.
Uh-huh.
Look at this.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you that no matter what you're going through, Satan is going to try you to say, look over here. Forget the family that you... No. Look over here. Forget the good job. No. Look over here. Okay. Genesis 3, 5, and 7 says, but the fruit of the tree, which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And when the woman saw the tree, where did it start?
Saw
that the tree was good for food. Do you think that there was another trees in the Garden of Eden that had beautiful food? Huh? Was that the only Dairy Queen in the town? I don't think so. Anybody from Texas would know that. I mean, if you're a small enough town, you normally had one, at least a Dairy Queen. A stop sign and Dairy Queen. That was it. But don't you think there was other trees, other fruit that was desirable? And that the tree was to be desired to make one wise. So she took its fruit and ate, and she gave some to her husband with her, and he ate. Verse 7, the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. Self-examination right there. Remember how you look at yourself in photos? And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. So everything started with her vision. You see, Eve lost her vision of God and God's plan. And we can't afford to do that, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
Satan is going to try to get you to focus on things that are not of him, that you will never understand this side of heaven.
Right.
He will try to get you so tied up in theological debate whether God had long hair or short hair or whatever the case may be. It doesn't matter. I am going to worship God regardless. Can I have the short-haired God? No. I'm going to walk into his presence and I'm going to fall on my feet, my face, and I am going to worship for about the first 1,000 years, okay?
Amen. Come on.
And it's not dependent on what he looks like. No. Or why did 9/11 happen? Or this or that. It's just a redeemed, a savior that has saved a sinner such as I. Because of what Christ did on the cross. If he never did another thing for me the rest of my life, I could worship him forever just for saving me.
Yes. Come on.
By focusing on one tree, the history of man would carry sin and heartbreak. But I'm going to talk about tunnel vision for good. Because I never want to end a message on a negative. Tunnel vision can be good. You have your Bibles, we're going to go into Luke 8, verses 43 through 48. And it said, a woman who had been suffering from chronic bleeding for 12 years. 12 years. Just think about that for a second. And you know, sometimes we read through the Word of God so quickly. Have you ever dealt with something for 12 years? Would you say that was just a few days? 12 years. Was in the crowd, and no one could cure her. She came up behind Jesus, touched the edge of his clothes, and her bleeding stopped at once. And Jesus said, who touched me? And everyone denied touching him. And Peter said, teacher, the people are crowding you and pressing against you. And Jesus said, someone touched me. And I know the power has gone out of me. And the woman saw that she couldn't hide. Trembling, she quickly bowed in front of him. And there in front of all the people, she told why she touched him and how she was cured at once. And Jesus told her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. 12 years, and she was growing weaker and weaker and weaker every day. Doctors weren't curing her. Man could not fix this situation, but she heard about a rabbi that has the power to heal. She heard about a rabbi because somebody shared their story. This is where we get involved. Somebody shared our story, and she heard about a rabbi that could heal. and she pressed in. And you know what? She had tunnel vision. She wanted to focus on Jesus. She didn't come in and say, you know what? That crowd's just too big. I don't do crowds. I'll tell you what. You deal with an issue of bleeding for 12 years and give a bad diagnosis and just see what you're willing to do to get to touch Jesus. And she thought, maybe if only I could just touch him. That needs to be your prayer. God, I just need to touch Jesus. And I'm willing to press into any crowd. Because as I said earlier, you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. No matter what the price is, you're willing to do that. And guess what the price that we're going to pay today? Time. Do we spend time in the Word every morning? I just don't have time, Pastor. Do we read the Word of God? Just don't have time. Will you come at 7 a.m. to start praying? If you hunger after God more than anything in this world, you'll make priorities in your day. And you'll seek him. And you'll pursue him. You'll say, God, I need that vision for my life. I don't know what's going on. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know why you created me. I don't know why I've gone through what I've gone through. I don't know why things have been said that have been said. I don't know why I do what I do. But I need a vision for my life. And I'm going to pursue you, God, in 2017 like I have never pursued you before. And it is going to be the beginning of a new relationship with you and I. And all of a sudden, the chains that have been holding you back, generational chains that have been holding you back, are going to be broken in 2017. We are about to walk into a season like we have never encountered before. And it's a good season. And I want you there beside me. I want you riding on the float with me and not walking 3 miles back in the parade because you just chose not to pursue God. Jesus is my healer. Jesus is my Savior. Jesus is my provider. Jesus is my source. Jesus is my hope. Jesus is my strength. Jesus is my peace. You know what? I'm giving you my resume, okay? Because this is who Jesus is to me. And this is what I'm going to stay focused on in 2017, okay? Forgetting what's happened in the past, not looking to the right or left. Jesus is my source. Jesus is my strength. Jesus is my healer. Jesus is my deliverer. There will be breakthrough in the name of Jesus. There will be healings in the name of Jesus. We will see all the colors walking through that door because of Jesus. Are you ready to join me? Because it means we're going to have to start changing what we've been doing. And it's going to start changing because we're going in prayer. And prayer changes things.
Amen.
And prayer even changes worship. And all of a sudden, Dina's going to be saying, man, this group is already way ahead of me. I got to get two or three songs down the road because they're already way ahead of me. He's not leading us. He's trying to catch up with us. But it all starts right now with the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. I want every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody should be looking around because this is between you and God. This is no one else's business. If you're watching this online, this applies to you just as if you're sitting here with this group of believers because God had you watching this for a reason. God had this message designed for you and you and you. But it all starts with the most important decision you'll ever make. And that's asking Jesus Christ into your life as Lord and Savior. And you may say, Pastor, I did that many, many years ago. But you know what? This is a new season. Why don't we just start off with that reassurance that, man, my sinful past is gone. And when Satan tries to get me to focus on something, I'll say, no, no, no. Because on January 22nd, 2017, everything was washed away. My sins were deleted. God does not see me as a sinner. He sees me redeemed. He sees me forgiven. And the most important decision you'll ever make is not your 401k or your career or your college or who you're going to marry. It's where you're going to spend eternity. Because every one of us will have one last breath. And once we leave this body, where you're going is what I'm talking to you about right now. We don't hold tomorrow. On the form that I read on an investment, there was a 26-year-old man. A couple months ago, just put out something that said, hey, I'm not feeling really well today. In every post, even though prayers were being brought up, never met the man, learned to love him just through his post. Went to be with the Lord last week. A young man who probably thought he had the rest of his life. None of us know our last breath. But you can know where you're going after that last breath. And I'm not talking about just eternal salvation. I'm talking about walking in the blessings of God right now. Because as Austin shared, he speaks a word over you and says, you are made righteous because of what I did on the cross. And because of that righteousness, we walk in his blessings. We can walk in the fullness of his word. We can declare healing over our bodies and fullness of joy. And we don't have to go through the same tribulation that the people are going through because we know where our peace, we know where our hope, we know where our source is. Man is not your source. Man will let you down, but God will never fail you. Somebody needed to hear that again. Man will let you down, but God will never fail you. We're all going to say a prayer in just 1 minute. I'm going to ask everyone to say it. But if you truly pray it, God knows your heart. Because he'll know who are just saying it. And those that really mean it. Before we pray, just spend a minute. God, is there anything in my life that I need to get rid of right now? If you are a born-again believer, pray right now. Start interceding. This could be all for the people that are online, but we're going to intercede for people that hearts will be open to the gospel right now. If there's an area of forgiveness, get it resolved. Unforgiveness will hinder your prayers. If there's a sin, bring it before God. God, I can't stop doing this. And I know it's not drawing me closer to you. Give it to God. Quit fighting this battle alone and allow him to come in and just fill you with the presence of God that will give you strength through the Holy Spirit. Amen? Would you pray with me, church? Dear Heavenly Father, I know that I'm a sinner and I need your forgiveness. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins and rose from the grave to give me life. Please forgive me. Change my life. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. I now confess I am saved. Hear me, devil. I am saved. My future is new. My past is gone. And I will never be the same. Amen. Lives were changed. I know it. I can sense this. The presence of God is amazing. The declarations of God are powerful. The love of God is contagious. The hope of God is addictive. Maybe I need to preach a message on how to be contagious, how to be addicted. And you'll be saying, what? No, it's what we're addicted to. It's what we're contagious about. Not the things of this world, the things of God. Are y'all ready?
Amen.
Are y'all ready? Things are about to change. In the back, are y'all ready? Okay. Y'all ready?
Yes.
Bill, Fran, are y'all ready? I can still see ya. Because this is about a new season. And that season has begun. It's not coming. It's here. And you are about to experience God in a way you've never experienced Him before. And He is ready to pour Himself out like you have never experienced Him before. And He is about to do miraculous things that haven't been seen in many, many, many years. We've had spiritual generals die that saw things that would amaze today's society. And we're about to see it again. Healings, miraculous signs, movements of God. And it's not man-driven, it's not money-driven, it's Holy Spirit-driven. It's people so hungry for more of God in this world that they're willing to wake up a little earlier, even during the week, and start praying. It's when two grown men will go drive around Pantego and just start praying. Because prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. But you need to have the vision of what prayer is about to do. Quit walking with the sight and start walking with vision. Yeah, the presence of God is very strong in this room. I'm going to close, but sometimes it's in the quiet that God does the most. A couple weeks ago, I asked you that we would write down a vision that you'd like to see happen in 2017. And it could involve your family, it could involve your work, involve your future, involve relationships. Involves something inside of you that you'd like to see change. It's not going to be made public because it's between you and God. But in 2 weeks, I'd like for you to have that ready to write down. And we'll have some paper and pens, and you can write it down. And you can put it in the offering plate because you're giving it to God. See, what God wants more than our money is us. Man wants your money. God wants your heart. That's why we don't make a big deal on offerings and passing a plate and you feel obligated to put something in, because God loves a cheerful giver. God knows when you give in that box. God sees when you're trusting Him, saying, God, I know there's a lot that I could do with this, but I'm giving it to You. Two weeks. Just start praying about what God would want you to put for the vision of your life and what you're willing to get rid of. I'll tell you what, if you fold it up and you say, do not read, I promise you, as my pastor, nobody's going to read it. You and God. Getting rid of the past, taking hold of the future. change your life. It's going to change this church. It's going to change this community. It's going to change our state. It's going to change this country. We can change the world. Maybe you just chuckled inside saying, Pastor, how are we ever going to change the world? Because I know a God who says that I can do exceedingly abundantly above all that I could ever think. According. I'm a dreamer. You hang around a faith-filled dreamer, you're going to become a faith-filled dreamer. You hang around a pessimist, you're going to become a pessimist. Take the presence of God with you.
Amen.
Don't rush back into this world. You get in your car, just put on some great worship music and just say, God, I just want this. I want this all day long. I want this all week long, God.
Amen.
I want this all month long.
Amen.
I don't want this just to be a Sunday morning only.
That's right.
One last thing. I want us to be attenders. I want us to be inviters. It's a challenge. To invite somebody to church means you've got to step out of your comfort zone. And if you know somebody who's hurting and has no hope, they will not be judged here. No fingers will be pointed, no words will be spoken. They'll be loved, and they will hear a gospel of hope. So don't ever think of yourself as an attender of this church anymore. We're all inviters. Would you all stand? I'd like to speak a blessing over you as we dismiss. I noticed the scripture I read today said, go in peace, right? Sounds familiar. Give me a second. I need this. In the presence of God, there's fullness of joy. Joy. I'm just speaking joy over you right now. I'm breaking off the heaviness, speaking joy over you. Some of you have carried around a heaviness and you need joy. You have not had joy in years. Here is your joy. God is giving you a gift, and it's a joy right now. Receive it. Say, Lord, I need that joy, because the joy of the Lord is my strength. Some of you have been tired because you haven't had joy. So receive the joy, to receive the strength. Just start thanking God. Just give me 30 seconds and I'll close. I promise you. Give me 30 seconds. But for the next 30 seconds, can you just start saying thank you, God? Thank you for all that you've done, God. Thank you that you've saved me. Thank you that you redeemed me. Thank you, God, that you do not hold my past against me. Thank you that you have a future and a plan for me, God. Thank you for all that you have done for me, and that I will always stay focused on your goodness. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for loving me even when I was a sinner. Thank you, God, for the doors that you're opening for me this week. Thank you, God, for giving me strength. Thank you, God, for the joy of the Lord is my strength. Thank you, Father God, that you are going to go before me and prepare a way. That we are the redeemed church, and that we have authority in the name of Jesus. And that the chains that have been holding us back are broken in Jesus' name. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May He smile upon you and be gracious to you. Let that sink in, church. This is not just a closing, this is a blessing. And may you walk in His favor. Go in peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for coming today. We love you so very much. God bless you.